What I learned this week is priceless. And I wish that I could give you all of the preparations that I went through to give you the Lord gave me to share with you today. So I guess my encouragement, I can't do that because it's impossible. My encouragement to you is that you would follow along in all the scriptures that we look at. There's Bibles in the backs of the pews. All the scriptures that will be up on the screen are from the American Standard Bible, but these will follow close. And so if you could follow along, I think that you might grasp some truths that maybe you haven't understood before, or at least practiced. Okay, so the text that we're going to study today in Romans chapter 6 talks about us being instruments or tools of righteousness, instruments of righteousness. So our call to worship is going to be actually in Romans 8, verses 9 through 11. And it says, "However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, but if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him." Now, I need to let you understand, if you have said yes to Jesus, if you have invited him into your life and have made him Lord of your life, then the Holy Spirit is living inside of you, and your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Jesus conquered death on the cross. And because of that, we live. Because Jesus died, we get to live. Amen. Lord, I thank you for this day. And as we worship you, Lord, I pray that you'll penetrate our hearts in all that we do. And we give this time to you. Accept our worship and praise. Amen. If I could encourage all of you today to follow along in the text, and not just the words that are in the bulletin. These notes are just a small part of the text that we read. And it's good to follow along here, but I would encourage all of you today to follow along as we read each text. Romans 6, 12 through 14. "Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lusts. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness. But present yourself to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace." My thesis today is living a daily life of righteousness. Living a daily life of righteousness. Jesus died for you, and if you identify with Jesus in his death, then you too will live. We're not just living as something breathing and existing, but we are instruments or tools of righteousness. And we are living for Jesus. I have a story, just a paragraph from Chuck Swindoll, and he's speaking. And I gave this example in 2012. So you might remember it, but it really kind of hits the nail on the head. "When I was a child," and this is Chuck speaking, "a black fellow served my granddad all through his life. His name was Coates. He passed much of his wisdom on to this little cotton-headed kid when I was standing out by the barbecue pit, which he maintained. He put his leathery hand on my head and shook it. I remember that like it was yesterday. And he said, "Little Charles, brother, the trouble with life is that it's so daily. The trouble with life is that it's so daily." Isn't that true? I mean, there's a lot of wisdom in that little phrase, and it sounds so, well, plain. But I want to encourage you today, as we go through the text, to understand that our struggle with sin is a daily struggle. And we need to pursue righteousness. Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you for all those that are here. And I pray that you'll work in our minds and in our hearts. Transform us by the hearing of your word. We just thank you for these truths. Amen. One of my favorite texts in the Bible is in Philippians chapter 3. And whenever I read this text, I'm reminded of a great old preacher by the name of Billy Graham. How many have ever heard Billy Graham speak, either in person or on the TV? Ever heard Billy Graham? Okay. See if you can hear his voice in Philippians 3, 10 and 11, "that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead." That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. How am I to know the power of his resurrection, friends? How are you to know the power of somebody's resurrection unless you were once dead? We need to die to ourselves. We need to die to ourselves and identify with Christ in his death, and then we shall live. Romans 6, 12. "Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you will obey its lusts." This is the daily battle. Satan likes to get his grimy fingers in our lives and tempt us and mess up our lives. So life is daily. Temptation is daily. Righteousness, living by righteousness, is a daily thing that we need to do. Ephesians 4, 25 and 27 through 27. "Therefore, laying aside all falsehood, speaking the truth with each one, with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down in your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity." Do not give the devil an opportunity. And some versions say, do not give the devil a foothold. How many have been ever mountain climbing? One. Corey, you been mountain climbing? Two? Really? No men? Oh, Jim, sorry. I'm not looking way up there. It's not way up there anymore, but it is up there. I have never been mountain climbing, so I'm going to speak with authority. And the authority is based on when I was a child climbing up a sliding hill. How many of you remember those days? Pulling a toboggan. How many of you remember those days? A heavy toboggan. And 2 days previous, it had melted. And so the kids that were sliding had made a footstep so you could get up the hill without sliding down. Do not give the devil a foothold in your life. Do not give the devil a foothold. And our text today in the NASB says, do not give the devil an opportunity to cause you to sin. Now, the example of the frog in boiling water is way overused today. But I'm going to use it anyways. Because it really hits the nail on it. What happens if you put a frog in boiling water? Not that. It's going to jump out because it's too hot. And that's just like us. I kind of liked it. She turned the TV off up to back there. If the devil tempts us with a very repulsive sin, we're going to turn our backs on it. And we're going to run so far and so fast away from it. But if we do not spend time in God's Word, and if we do not spend time daily praying to Him, listen to me, then little by little, we are going to fall away from Jesus. Just like if you put a frog in a kettle of cold water and it boils to death. I hope you're listening today. We need to live a life of righteousness. I also want to remind us that our battle that we're in is not against people. Oh, sometimes it might seem like it. Right? Our battle that we are in is against Satan and all of his evil forces. Sometimes we simply go through life just kind of cruising, kind of casually living. And we aren't really sold out for Jesus, but we're not really living in disobedience either. We're kind of like, you know, riding this fence, just kind of calmly living. But the Bible tells us that we are in a battle. We are in a battle. We're not just coasting. Ephesians chapter 6, if you have your Bibles open, it's a little bit lengthy. It's 8 verses long. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God. Why? So that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, it's not against people, but against the rulers, against the powers, and against the forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take the full armor of God, so that you will be able to resist the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparations of the gospel of peace, in addition to all this, taking up the shield of faith, which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Is this person in this text that I just read in Ephesians 6 sitting back taking it easy? No. Getting ready for battle. And that's what we need to do, friends. We need to be ready for battle. Romans 6:12, again. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. Do not let sin reign so that you obey its lust. This is a choice. It's a choice. A decision that we make, a conscious decision to follow Him or to go the other way direction. Colossians 3:1-3. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, and I hope many of you have been, I know you have been. If you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things above, not on earthly things that are on the earth, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Pursue Jesus Christ. Romans 6:13. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourself to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments or tools of righteousness to God. Do not go on presenting your members of your body to sin. One of my favorite texts and absolutely my favorite book in the Bible is James. And if you don't know why, then you should read it, because there's so many promises, there's so many how-tos for the Christian life in James. James 1, 13 through 16 says, "Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am being tempted of God,' for God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. But each one," listen to this, "each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust," by his own lust. "Then when lust is conceived and gives birth to sin, and when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death." Brings forth death. "Do not be deceived, my dear brethren." It's a powerful text. And I've said this before, and I need to say it again. We need to own our sin. We need to know and understand that we are sinners, confess our sins, repenting of our sin, turning around and walking the other way, getting right with God. Joshua, the first two chapters in Joshua, I would have to say, are another one of my favorite texts. God tells Joshua at least five times to be strong and courageous. Why? Why would Joshua, and we know Joshua as a warrior, right? He's strong, he's brave, goes out and attacks all these nations. So why does God tell him to be strong and courageous? Say it aloud. Maybe he wasn't. Maybe we need to be told, be strong and courageous. Joshua 1:7, only be strong and very courageous. He says at the end in chapter 2, be careful to do according to all the law of Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. And then Proverbs 4, 25 through 27, let your eyes look ahead. How many were runners? Are or were runners in high school? Okay, one, two, I was. Paul, when you ran, did you run like this? You remember? Yeah, were you a long distance? I wasn't a long distance runner. I gave out way before that. The longest I ran was the 880 relay, which was 220 yards. Sprinter. And they taught the sprinter specifically to keep your eye on the goal. Keep your eye on the goal. Let your eyes look directly ahead and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Turn your foot from evil. Keep your eyes focused on the goal. Our admonition today is keep all your ways pure. Do not follow the ways of the world. Stay attuned to the things of the Lord. Keep your eyes and your heart focused straight ahead and on the goal of Jesus Christ. Romans 6:14, for sin shall not be master over you. Are you listening? For sin shall not be master over you. For you are not under the law, but under grace. 3 weeks ago, we talked about what a servant is. Do you remember what a servant is? I'm going to give you the definition I gave you 3 weeks ago. If you are a slave to someone, you are under their control. If you are a slave to sin, you are under its control. So when your old self was crucified with him, you were then freed from your sin and one with Christ and his righteousness. Who are you slave to today? Jesus? Or are you slave to your sin nature? We belong to Christ, and sin no longer has master over us. If we live by the Spirit and under the law which condemns us, then we live under grace. I know I've said it in the last couple months. What is grace? I like to ask Neil this. Neil knows this by heart. What's grace? Unmerited favor. What does that mean? That means we get something that we don't deserve. We get something that we don't deserve. We don't deserve God's love. We don't deserve eternal life. We deserve death. But Jesus loved us so much that he died for us. And he gives us life everlasting. 2 Corinthians 5:21, he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. On our behalf, it says, so that we might become righteousness of God. It's important to understand what grace is before we move on in Romans. We need to understand what grace is, and I hope you do. Because we don't deserve life. We don't deserve forgiveness because the penalty for sin is death. We know that up here. I had someone in my office, and they're not here, so I can share this. Counseling a couple. And, you know, when someone's talking again and again and again, they know something, they know something, they know this is true, they know this, they know the biblical truth. I don't keep a tape measure in my office for this purpose. But I remembered that I had one on my shelf. So I grabbed the tape measure, and he's like, uh-oh. And I went from his head down to his heart. I said, it's only 12 inches? But so many times we have a heart. We understand. We have the head knowledge of Jesus. But we don't apply his truth to our hearts. We don't apply the truth to our heart. So I want you to understand grace. I want you to understand that it's nothing we deserve. If you're on your deathbed and a preacher comes in and says, do you deserve eternal life? What are you going to say? No. You don't deserve it. But I hope you can say, but I love Jesus, and I have made him Lord of my life. And because of that, I know that I will spend eternity with him. Amen. I had a closing text, and as I was going through my sermon last night before I went to bed, it just didn't seem appropriate. So I'm not going to read it. But what I want you to do is think about what grace is this week. And if you have made a commitment and made Jesus Lord of your life, know and understand that you'll get to spend eternity with him, not because you deserve it, but because you accepted the free gift. Amen.